There's no doubt that you've heard this management advice in the past, and it's something along the lines of, you have to tailor your leadership approach to every specific person on your team, or there's no one-size-fits-all approach to leading your team. You have to make adjustments and individualize your leadership, right? And while it's accurate advice, it really is missing some of the substance or the tactical things that you can actually do to make sure that you're putting it into practice and doing it. This is World's Greatest Boss, the podcast that helps scaling business owners tackle leadership challenges, build effective teams, and stay in compliance. Today, I'm going to share with you a powerful and simple tool that you can put into practice with your team. And this tool is going to help you identify exactly what each person on your team needs from a leadership and coaching and performance management perspective. I bet you have some people on your team who are self-motivated. They're eager to take on more. You feel like you can just let them do their thing. While you also have some that seem to like burn out all the time or lose their spark a lot more quickly than others. You probably have had times, if you're not experiencing it now, where you're really worried about some of the people on your team being the right fit for the job and for your team in general. My name is Jackie Koch, and my mission is to help business owners just like you avoid some of the mistakes that I've had to help clean up. I've been in the trenches building the teams that grow companies for over 15 years. I've hired hundreds of people, navigated countless sticky situations, and been the trusted advisor for some incredible CEOs. In today's episode, you're going to learn exactly how to identify what each person on your team needs and how you can support them, coach them, and performance manage them in the right way. So I want to start out by sharing just a time when I was reminded of this matrix. So I first learned about this matrix when I was actually working at Lululemon. And when I worked there, their company culture is so devoted to leadership and development, and us as managers are given so many great tools and resources to help develop our team. And this tool, Matrix, spoiler, it's a matrix, that you're going to learn about is exactly one of those. And it made a ton of sense. I put it into practice and it just became second nature. I left that company and went to join a few startups. And I was managing somebody on my team who was super, super eager. She really wanted to do a great job. She would take it upon herself to create new organizational methods and different ways of doing things for the business. And I remember one time she put a ton of work into this project of reorganizing some things in this digital database. And she shows me, she's so excited. And I'm like, oh no, our co-founder is going to hate this. And she has to roll it out to this person. And I'm like, oh no, what do I do about this? She spent so much time on it. And I remember thinking, like, I don't want her to lose her spark, but she definitely needs some training and coaching on how to get buy-in from other people before just running off and spending countless hours creating something that she thinks is a problem that I think other people are not going to think is a problem. And I remember thinking, like, what should I do? And I remembered this matrix that we used at Lululemon when we were creating development plans for employees. And so I went back to that and I looked to see where she was at in terms of her skill level and her will, for lack of a better word, or her engagement. And I realized that she really just needed some training, some development. She was excited. She was motivated. Her will was there, but she was just missing some skills. And I was able to teach her those skills. So we went to work, we did it, and she became so effective and did so many things for us. And so this matrix is called the skill versus will matrix. It's often attributed to this gentleman named Max Landsberg, and he wrote this book, The Tao of Coaching. And so the matrix is the skill versus will matrix, and it can really be your go-to for understanding who on your team needs what in order to excel. It's going to give you a reference for what type of support to give them. So I'm going to describe this matrix, and I know on audio this can be a little tricky, but I think I'm going to be able to do it. So I want you to picture a grid, and there's four different quadrants to this grid. And on the bottom is what is going to be skill. And from left to right, it's going to range from low skill to high skill. Then on the vertical axis, from bottom to top is will. And it's going to range from low will to high will. And so together, you get four quadrants, each representing a different coaching or management approach. I'm going to describe what each of those quadrants is, and I'm going to start with the one that's often the most frustrating and hard to handle. And that is somebody who's in the bottom left quadrant. So they have a low skill level and a low will level. That person is often a struggling employee. Indicators that somebody might be in this kind of quadrant is they're making a lot of mistakes. They lack initiative. They're missing deadlines. They're not preparing. They don't seem like they're really putting their heart into it. And they might seem disinterested or overwhelmed by tasks. We've all had some of those folks on our team, right? So that's going to be where a lot of your struggling team members are. Don't worry, I'm going to tell you what to do as we continue to go on. So that's low skill and low will. Let's stay on the skill axis. So if you move over to the right one, you're going to have high skill, but low will still, right? This can also be a little bit of a frustrating one. Honestly, I feel like this is the most frustrating personally. I feel like the struggling employee, I know exactly what to do, which you're going to learn too, but it's this one that seems to really be challenging. So if somebody has a lot of skill, but they have a low will, they're often the disengaged expert, right? They could be like grumpy, have an attitude problem. They might show signs of complacency or boredom. They resist new challenges. They just lack that oomph, the enthusiasm that you wish they would have. And despite their competence and their ability to do the job, their engagement and their productivity like fluctuates, right? So that's what you have often when somebody's falling into the low will, but they have the high skills. It's like you see their potential, right? Often. So that's on the skill axis. So now let's move over to the will axis. We already went over when you have low skill and low will. Let's move up above that to low skill, but high will. This is where I actually would say that the employee, the story that I shared when we kicked off, that's where she fell. She had the will, like she wanted to do a good job and she had the desire. She was just missing some of the skills. So that's what's often called your eager novice. So these team members are really eager to learn. They actively seek feedback. They demonstrate a lot of commitment, right? High levels of commitment and drive, but they just make mistakes because of inexperience or they need some more guidance and training. Now, the last one we haven't talked about is the top right. So that is somebody with high will and high skill. This is your dream employee. It's your ideal employee. These folks often are leaders within their peer group. They stand out amongst the rest. They're consistently achieving or exceeding targets. They're proactively seeking new challenges. They're reliable, autonomous, and often go above and beyond. That is your ideal employee, right? So those are the four different areas. So you have high skill, high will, your ideal employee. You have low skill, high will, the eager novice. You have high skill, low will, the disengaged expert. And then you have low skill, low will, and that is the struggling employee. So now I'm going to go into what you should do if you notice that you have people in one of these areas, because you probably will have a mixture. That's just the reality. I'm going to actually reverse the order because I think the high skill, high will is a little bit quicker and easier to figure out. So when you have your ideal employee, the one that has high skill, high will, the best thing you can do for these people is to delegate stuff to them. Give them projects or direction and let them roll with it. But the one caveat here is don't just ignore them. Don't just think, oh, they're great. I don't have to like touch base with them or anything. Like they still want recognition. They still want time to talk with you. They still want time to share what they're working on, to share some of the stuff they're learning, the progress that they're making. And so you want to make sure that you're proactively making time for them and not just like giving them something and expecting you're only going to find out when something goes wrong. that's when you're going to start to have people leave your team, and you don't want those people to leave. So you want to give them autonomy, give them tasks, but then also give them the space to share with you how they're doing, present to you what's going on, share their findings with the rest of the team, give them recognition. Super, super critical. Now let's move over to the low skill and the high will. Those are the employees that just need some training, right? So what you want to do is identify what skills are they missing? What skills do they need to learn? And provide them with training and learning opportunities to develop those skills. We live in a world where it is so easy to get education on demand. Like I remember 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it was like you would have to send people to conferences. You'd have to send them back to school, pay for tuition reimbursement. And now we live in a world where you can literally go buy a course or some sort of certification so easily online. But the key is give them time during their work hours to complete it. You can't just give them something and expect them to do it outside of office hours because some people just can't. And so some people will, right? No doubt there's going to be people who listen to podcasts, give them books, give them stuff that can help them develop the skills, and then check in on the learning. Ask them to present what they're learning to the team. Give them opportunities to do that, and you are going to help develop their skills while also continuing to keep them motivated. They're still going to have that high will because you're investing into them. They're learning stuff by working for you. If you can't have the ideal employee, I think the ones with the high will, but maybe missing some of the tactical skills are also really great opportunities. Let's move down to the low skill and the low will, the struggling employee. So I kind of alluded to this already, but you'd think at first this would be the toughest to figure out what to do. But honestly, I feel like these are the most straightforward with knowing how to handle. So they just need high direction. You have to give them specific instructions about what to do, what you expect, tell them exactly how and when you want something done, and then just follow up, make sure they do it, right? It does take a little bit more effort, of course, but it's pretty like straightforward. So tell them exactly what needs to do, check up on it, make sure it's getting done. Give them the feedback and work with them to decide and see if they're coachable, if they are able to be motivated. Typically, I hate to say this, but if you're not seeing any signs of the will increasing at all, this usually is a sign that somebody either needs to be put into a new job or they need to probably leave your company. And putting together a plan for making that happen is often what's needed, right? So put them. Make sure you're having clear communication, explain exactly what's needed, give them an opportunity to show you and be clear about what's going to happen if it's not. But these are the easiest ones to handle regarding like lower performers. Now, if you have the high skill and the low will, the disengaged expert, this is honestly, in my opinion, the most frustrating employee. You see their potential, but they just don't seem to care. There could be a ton of reasons why they don't seem to care, but your job here is to figure out how to motivate them and get them to at least get a little bit more excited about work. So it could be that they're not being challenged, or maybe they're not working on things that they like. Maybe they're not working on things that they feel they're good at. Your job is to figure it out. And sometimes stuff might be going on outside of work that's causing it, right? Now, you can ask about what's going on. You seem like you've lost your zest. Like, how can, you know, and have these conversations with them. But your job is to figure out what's going on. And I think it's really critical to also talk about the different types of motivators that exist, because there's two main types of motivators. There's intrinsic and then there's extrinsic. So extrinsic motivation are external rewards. So that's pay, perks, benefits, status, titles, authority. Those are external things that make somebody feel motivated. And those are important. And so those are also the easiest to diagnose. Like you can figure out, like, are they unhappy with their compensation? Are they unhappy with your benefits? Are they unhappy with their job? Like, those are things you can actually ask about, right? And try to get to the root cause. But they're not the only things. In fact, studies show that extrinsic things only go a certain way and they kind of fade after a while if intrinsic ones are not also accompanying them. And so intrinsic motivation is more rooted in like personal values and internal desires. Like they want to become more efficient. They want to have a sense of purpose. They want to feel fulfilled. They want to develop skills. They want to have more independence, autonomy, those types of things. They want to feel connected to the team. Studies show that these drivers have a lot more of a long-term impact than the extrinsic ones. They tend to help employees feel just more fulfilled in their jobs, which really is what gets people to stay most of the time. So think about those different types of motivation as you're trying to think about how to move somebody up on the will. Like those are the two kind of categories of options that you have to explore and dig into. And don't just think it's because you're not paying them enough. And somebody may say that. In fact, I'll often hear, I'm not getting paid enough to deal with this. And I'm like, really? That might be true that you don't feel as though you're being compensated enough. But even if you were compensated more, you would not be happy dealing with whatever you just complained about. Right. And so it's the moment somebody says, I'm not making enough to deal with this, it's usually your sign to dig into, okay, what is this and what's going on here? Because if I don't fix what's going on here and just give you a pay increase, you're still going to be unhappy. Now, the answer might be you need to do both, but that's just something I hear a lot and it triggers me, obviously, hence why I brought that up. Now, you have this framework, right? The skill versus will matrix. You have the framework for how to place people, the different categories they're in, and what you can do to support them. So now what should you do? Pull out some paper and honestly, just create this, like the skill versus will quadrants, and plot out where you think everyone is at on the team. And then take each person individually and figure out an action plan for how you can support them to be their best. I recommend that you revisit this quarterly and make sure you're not just ignoring your top performers and make sure you're making meaningful progress with the others. Depending on your level of how open and honest you are with your team, you could share this framework with them and share where you think they are. I think unless you have a really, really, really strong relationship with them, it can feel a little challenging to hear that feedback. So tread lightly there, but at least know it for yourself. And that allows you to enter into the conversation of like, hey, I wanted to help create a development plan for you or a plan to help you grow. And here are some things that I was thinking about. What do you think? And you could co-create it with them in that way versus, hey, this is where I plotted you on this skill versus will matrix. I don't know that will go over well, to be honest. And the reality is it's likely that your team might fluctuate into different quadrants from time to time as your jobs change, as what they're working on changes, as your business evolves or personal things happen in their life. And it's okay. The one thing I will say explicitly is that this matrix is not meant to create long-term labels for each person on your team. Because if you label somebody as this, that's what you're going to think they are forever. And if you look at this more as a tool of like, it's going to ebb and flow and depending on what's going on in the business changes how I have to support them, then you're going to be able to identify how to change your leadership approach depending on how people are doing what's going on in your business. And it's going to help you pinpoint a point in time of where you think somebody needs your support. Don't just say, oh, this person is a struggling employee forever. Right? That might change. And so just remember that. So there you have it, a simple tool that you can refer to time and time again to see what type of support and training your team members really need to bring out their best. You want your team operating at their best. And this is a really great tool and framework to use to support that. As we wrap up and before we part ways, I have a very small favor to ask of you. If today's show has brought you any insights, inspirations, or maybe just an aha moment, could you take a minute and leave the show a rating and a review? Whether you're tuning in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, your reviews really help us not only reach more listeners, we can attract some incredible guests and continuously improve the content that we bring to you every single week. Plus, we just genuinely love hearing from you. I do, for sure. It's a highlight to my day when I get to hear how the show is helping you. And even if you have feedback that there's things to improve, like that's the only way it's going to happen. So if you feel inclined, please drop us a review. And who knows, maybe we'll even feature your comment in an upcoming episode. So thanks for being a part of the show's journey. And remember to spread the word. Until next time, keep listening, keep practicing, and keep implementing the things that you're learning. And you are well on your way to becoming world's greatest boss.